You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And apologies that we are doing this. It's funny. We're doing this later than we've done the last basically week. But I am accustomed now to getting this out by 1 p.m. And that is the goal every day. But delayed it just because yesterday was, it's like we, between the point and even when we posted the audio version of the podcast and we posted the video version, more of the same stuff started happening, kept happening rather. Because on Monday, we discussed AJ Henning and Greg Glenn entering the transfer portal. In between the audio and the video uploading, RJ Moten entered the transfer portal. And then after that, Nekai Hill-Green both entered the transfer portal and committed to his new school of choice. So obviously we are going to talk about the other two departures. Just trying to delay because waiting to see what Jared Smith does as far as his commitment, which he is reportedly doing today. So I was hoping to kind of get that all in. But we will stick with the news of Brady Prescorn committing to Michigan. So this is a addition slash subtraction episode. And I also want to get into Paul Meyerberg from USA Today Sports did his Big Ten power rankings along with his kind of like nagging question. And I just don't know. I just don't feel like it's the finger on the pulse of the Big Ten in a lot of ways, but at least he got the order, I feel, pretty much right. So, you know what? If you get the order right, I think that's the important thing. So we'll get to all of that here today. Yesterday was certainly a busy news day with all of these outgoing transfers. Let's start with that. Then we'll get to Brady Prescorn. RJ Moten, Nekai Hill-Green. I've seen a lot of comments of people who have kind of been like, oh, well, you know, they passed up on the depth chart. Oh, well, they weren't that good anyway. Yada, yada, yada. I disagree. And I've had conversations with people who you would certainly respect a lot, that, and that you do respect a lot, that disagreed vehemently with that type of assessment. And this wasn't even me talking to them after they're leaving. This was me discussing with people, and they're saying like RJ Moten is just going to be an absolute force. He is underrated. Fans don't appreciate just how good he is and how much of a force he will be for Michigan. Nekai Hill-Green, I think everyone kind of garnered that respect last year. I understand everyone's very excited about the guys who are kind of either up and coming or Ernest Hausman who transferred in. So, I mean, I guess, like, in a way with Ernest Hausman, it's one of those things where it's like, would you rather have a guy who is a rising star, one of the top guys in the transfer portal who plays that position, or Nekai Hill-Green, who missed an entire season with injury? Because you don't know when a guy misses a season with injury what they're going to be like 100% upon return. Now, I'm under the impression that this is not something between either of those guys that Michigan anticipated losing, right? Like Jesse Minter spoke of both of them on the In the Trenches podcast, very much discussing them as being a part of the plan for this upcoming season. So I don't feel like Michigan saw this coming by any stretch. Maybe they did by a day or two, or maybe even 3 or 4 days, but clearly at this time last week, they didn't. So, I mean, that is a blow. The good news is, kind of like I alluded to, Michigan's got the depth. But both of these guys have started games for Michigan. So it's kind of hard to just sit there and look at it and say, all right, well, let's just act like they are also rans, because they're not. Now, RJ Moten certainly had his struggles. Did he get passed up by Makari Page? I mean, it kind of feels that way. Both of these guys, though, I think also add something from a leadership perspective that I was really looking forward to. I mean, how long on this podcast have I been saying one or the other screams future team captain to me? Nekai in particular. Nekai had that feeling to me like he was going to be a guy that I would see in like 20 years, you know, back at some reunion type thing. And we would talk about the days where he helped lead Michigan to something, right? And granted, I mean, you can do that, you know, wins over Ohio State. And I mean, he really just the one because last year he didn't play. But R.J. Moten also had that, right? It is disheartening when you lose guys of that caliber. Before anyone says, well, you know, if they were real leaders and they would have stayed, it doesn't always work that way. Remember, Michigan brought in four guys who were team captains at their other schools, right? Michigan also lost two team captains to Iowa this offseason. That's just the state of college football at this point. And I can't blame Nekai for wanting to go and play under Biff Poggi, because he, if you didn't catch it, it didn't take but a couple hours before he committed to Charlotte. So he, like Iabioki, reunites with his high school coach, Biff Poggi. And, you know, I think that's one of those things where you just, and this goes with any transfer, you just wish him well. And it's just, it's unfortunate. Will Michigan be all right? Absolutely, Michigan will be all right. They've got a lot of depth at both positions. Now it's just, you're going to need to see Jimmy Rolder really take that step forward. You're going to need to see whether it's Zeke Berry or Keon Sabb take that step forward. You know, now it really is the Rod Moore, Makari Page show as far as the secondary there, the safety position. These were two positions where, weirdly, you could afford some attrition. Offensive line probably being the only other one. Now, if they would have, I mean, they lost a wide receiver in A.J. Henning. That stings, right? But at the same time, he wasn't really getting utilized. And you're kind of waiting for some of these other guys to step up. So I think that kind of softens the blow to some degree. The depth softens the blow to some degree. But it's one of those things where you don't want to see guys of that caliber leave either. It happens, certainly. And Michigan is not immune from it. But it would have been really cool to see those guys at least do another year and see what that looked like. All right. The train is going to force me to go ahead and move on. So we are going to do that here in just a moment. Before we do, grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back, and there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn, sign up, place your first bet, get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win. So don't miss your chance to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of Major League Baseball. All right, I'm kind of short on talking this week. I don't know. We won't be as much as anticipated throughout the week. So little change of plans here. I am not going on the team trip as anticipated. Some parts of the lodging element fell through. So and also with just combined with being in this house for less than a month, it just doesn't kind of feasibly work. Had a lot of issues trying to get a sitter for Zuri as well. So we're just not going to go. You know, mixing that with the NFL draft. And also just kind of not sure what we're going to get out of it 100%. It's just kind of like it would have been nice. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If it was a month from now, it would probably work out. Would have worked out a little bit better, but it's not. It's this week. So we're going to stick around here. Everything's going to go as planned. We're going to do the mailbag on Thursday as normally planned. So we'll probably get into a little bit more draft stuff on Friday as a result of sticking around and all of that. So that is what the plan is. Now let's talk a little bit about Brady Prescore. Let me pull up his profile here. as Zuri goes nuts because of the train in the background, because she still hasn't really, she still really hasn't figured out that, hey, that thing that goes by like six times a day, there's nothing special. It's just a train. So I want to pull up a different page here, because I feel like this is, this one's a little bit better, maybe. No, this doesn't, maybe it's not up to date. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to go back to 24/7 Sports. I was going on three. They have their little breaking down everything, but 24/7 Sports composite has Brady Prescorn as being the number 56 player overall in the country, the number two tight end, the number two player in the state of Michigan. The only player in the state of Michigan who's ahead of Prescorn is the young Carr kid, CJ Carr, who Michigan didn't really chase that much, as we know. The only tight end ahead of him is Landon Thomas from Georgia, who is heading to Florida State. He's a five-star tight end, which is kind of, I think, in a weird way, a rarity. But so now Michigan has Brady Prescorn, the number two tight end in the country, and Hogan Hansen, the number 10 tight end in the country. I mean, that is a heck of a pull, right? When you consider, like, they've done a really good job of getting some of those under-the-radar tight ends. You know, like, I mean, you can go way back, right? Sean McCune certainly wasn't just a lowly three-star. I mean, he still plays for the Dallas Cowboys. He's still on that 53-man roster. He doesn't get as much run as, say, some of the others on the roster there, but, I mean, he's still on that 53-man roster. But they've had such Luke Schoonmaker, obviously. I mean, Eric All was a three-star and ended up becoming, like, a veritable star. And then, like, these last couple years, I mean, you know, Matthew Hibner, who we still haven't really seen yet as a four-star. Everyone's obviously excited about Colston Loveland, who is a four-star. A.J. Barner comes in, who was a three-star initially and is a four-star as a transfer guy. I'm excited to see what guys like Marlon Klein are able to do. Deacon Tonielli coming in. Zach Marshall, who just looks like a tight end. And now you're adding, like, elite-type level tight ends to this group, whereas a lot of the other guys they've had, even when they're four-stars, are more, like, in the 300 range. Now you've got a guy who's 56 and 200. That's powering up. That's leveling up. Especially when you consider, you know, this is a guy who has an Alabama offer. I mean, just listen to some of the names of some of the teams he had offers from. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Miami, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oregon, Tennessee, Penn State, Texas A&M. I mean, it's a who's who list. Oklahoma. It's a who's who list of guys that, of rather schools that you want to be courting you, right? And he's one of the guys where it's pivotally important for Michigan to be able to go in and get that in-state guy that has that type of talent, because what has been one of the concerns that we have long had, especially missing out on some of the quarterbacks. Now, Michigan wasn't really chasing CJ Carr that hard, right? But losing out on Dante Moore, and then if they would have lost out on CJ Carr and Brady Prescorn, then suddenly we're really in upheaval, right? So to get a guy like him is pretty amazing. And then you add in the optics that you're seeing online today of the 4-for-4. You have the four guys on offense and their March recruiting visit. I don't believe any of them were committed at the time. The first one to drop was Jordan Marshall. Then you had Jaden Davis, then Blake Frazier, and now Brady Prescorn. All four are Michigan commits. That felt like, hey, man, if that could happen, that's great. But now you look at that and you say, wow, at the offensive possibilities, right? It's got so much opportunity for Michigan to really be there. Now, if Michigan adds and is a defensive guy, if they add Jared Smith, which will likely mean that he would get his twin brother, Jacob Smith, I can't imagine that they're going to go to separate places. If they land him later today, Michigan's going to have the number one class in the country. Now, it's not by average star rating. That would go to Ohio State. Or actually not even Ohio State, looking at Florida, seven commits, actually has a higher star rating than Ohio State. But by overall points, they are right there. They're 1 point, not even a full point behind Georgia, and only 3 points behind Ohio State at the moment. One more commit than Ohio State, two more than Georgia at the moment, and they're right there on the cusp. But what, just looking at some of these names here, Jaden Davis, Brady Prescorn comes in as the number two rated when it comes to 24/7 Sports composite ranking. So you got Jaden Davis, Brady Prescorn, Jordan Marshall. Those are the three that are in the top 100. Keeping in mind, Michigan had zero in the top 100 last year. I think that you have to go back. Let's see, 2022, obviously Will Johnson, Derek Moore, Keon Sapp. That's the last time. So you're looking at 2 years ago. They are really starting to kind of move things forward in that light. And then top 24/7, well, let's expand it to the, I guess we don't have to expand it because there's nothing between 24/7 and 300. But then you got Andrew Sprague at 156, Jacob Oden 166, Hogan Hansen 200, Blake Frazier 219, Mason Curtis 220, the one who started this entire class off. And then Luke Hamilton is the one in the 300s at 345, one more four-star in Ted Hammond. I mean, it's going pretty good, right? And especially when you consider a guy like Manuel Beagle at 682 at a three-star has a Georgia offer now and a Penn State offer. Like, it is looking really, really, really good right now for this Michigan team in the way that they're starting to get these guys. Like, we wouldn't be talking about 14 commits generally in April. This is like a July thing generally when it comes to Michigan. Michigan's finally kind of said, hey, we need to go ahead and figure this out now. Because what is the thing that we talk about on this podcast every single year at this time? Don't be concerned about where the rankings are in April. Be concerned with where Michigan stands in December. Last year didn't necessarily turn out exactly as people had hoped. But now they weren't going to take that for an answer. They're putting the pedal to the metal. That's the thing that makes it so impressive what Michigan's doing. Now, just to kind of continue on here, of other guys that Michigan could get, I'm not going to say will get, but like Dylan Stewart, who was visited. Certainly, there's others that are in strong contention for him. Same with Justin Scott, who looked Notre Dame bound and then kind of backed off of that. Taylor Tatum still has the sole crystal ball prediction. That he'll end up at Michigan. He just put out a top list. I think it would take a miracle at this point to get Bryce West. We'll see about Aaron Scott. Things still seem pretty good for him. Aaron Childs still seems like he is about as close to a lock to come to Michigan as there can be. Gatlin Bear. These are all guys that are top 100. Michigan already has, like I said, Jaden Davis, Brady Prescorn, Jordan Marshall in that top 100. And now I'm sitting here saying, I think if I was to pick today, I would say Gatlin Bear, Aaron Childs, Taylor Tatum will definitely end up in the class. And then one of Dylan Stewart, Justin Scott, and Aaron Scott will probably end up in the class. That is just, I mean, it is trending to being Jim Harbaugh's best class, which is kind of surprising to me because I thought on paper, 2016 and 2017 were extremely impressive. And Michigan, I would imagine, will get another five-star. I don't know who. It would have to be Dylan Stewart or Justin Scott. But I just feel like they're trending towards that, and the recruiting has just taken off in such a much better way. So, good news. We will discuss if Jared Smith ends up in this class. We will discuss that either way on Wednesday. Let's get to this ESPN. I'm reading the words ESPN when I mean to say USA Today. Let's get to this USA Today power ranking and my thoughts on that. All right, let's finish out here with some quick thoughts on Paul Meyerberg's power rankings. He He's been doing the different conferences. He did the SEC a couple days ago, and now he's got the Big Ten out here. So here's the order. We'll run through it real fast. I wouldn't make it that much different. It would be a little bit different. I think I've done some Big Ten power rankings here. I mean, I know I have. Let me see if I have it readily available. I don't know that I do. 2023 power ranking. So, yeah, it's pretty much the same almost, except for I have Iowa way lower, Wisconsin a bit lower, and Illinois way higher, Maryland way higher. But let's just put it this way. The bottom three and the top three, actually the bottom four, maybe even the bottom five are the same. Let's see, might even be the bottom six and the top three are the same. So it's just kind of that middle part that I think we disagree on. And you know, it is what it is. Northwestern, he has at 14. His question is, can the offense and defense get out of the cellar? My question is more, what can they do to just kind of get back and, you know, like that you lose. After 2020, everyone was still really high on Northwestern, and I was saying they lose so much, I just don't see it. And then since then, they've lost Mike Hankwitz, and they continue to lose personnel, so it's a really hard, how do you get out of that? So I think he's right there. Indiana, he has number 13, which is what I have them as well. His question, can they put the pieces together in the secondary? For me, it's offensive-based, right? Because defensively, they've been generally pretty good. I've liked some of the pieces they've had in the secondary. I think that Josh Sanguinetti is still back, if I'm not mistaken, and I really like him. They went really pass-happy for the two-thirds of the season last year, and then they said, okay, no, we need to be run-heavy now. I'm curious to see what is your identity, especially offensively, if you're Indiana. Number 12, Rutgers. His question is, will increased depth lead to more consistency? For me, it's who's the quarterback, right? Like, that's been the issue for Rutgers, because even though Michigan eviscerated them defensively in the second half last year, I think that them not having a consistency at quarterback has been the big issue. And that's why when Gavin Wimsatt came in last year, I remember hearing some of the Rutgers photographers saying in the first half, like, well, we've got a quarterback. Well, that only lasted a half. But that's been the issue, whether it's him, Noah Vedral, or any number of Artur Sitkowski, guys that just didn't work out for the Scarlet Knights. I'd like to see them get a little bit better here. It's disappointing seeing them in the cellar constantly. He's got number 11 and 10 mixed from what mine are. He's got number 11 Purdue and 10 Nebraska. His Purdue question is, how good is the marriage between OC Graham Harrell and quarterback Hudson Card, the transfer from Texas? I think that's part of it, but it's just kind of what does Purdue look like when it hires a defensive-minded head coach? I mean, it's considering what Jeff Brohm was, it's a difference. Nebraska is his number 10, who I have at 11. He said, how deep is the rotation at the running back? I said, no, it's just about quickly. Can the pieces come together for Matt Rhule? Because Nebraska at least had been mostly competitive against the teams it's faced. It fell off a little bit when the turmoil happened with Scott Frost and everything, but it's been kind of more defensive. I mean, yes, running back is important there, but I'm more curious how quickly can Matt Rhule get these guys believing in themselves. So here's the first major difference. He has Illinois at number 9. I have him at number 5. He says, what's up in the secondary? You know, talking about the loss of Devin Witherspoon. I think that's, I mean, sure, part of it, but I mean, it's Brian Walters leaving for Purdue, no longer having Tommy DeVito and Chase Brown. I think those are the bigger stories when it comes to Illinois, but I like what he's done, Brett Bielema's done with the lines, and I think that is certainly boding well for them. He has Michigan State at number 8. I have Michigan State at number 9. He says, can the freshman get to the quarterback? Again, that's not what I'm concerned about if I'm concerned about Michigan State, which I am not. But if I am, it's more of just finding ways to be consistent. Now, the secondary got better, but it's like really it's not been the pass rush that's been their issue. It's been kind of everything else. I'm not saying the pass rush for them has been great or anything, but that's not really Jacoby Windman. Everyone was raving about the pass rush last year. And what have people constantly said about Mel Tucker's teams? The secondary is atrocious. And more so, they didn't really find a replacement for Kenneth Walker in their Jarek Broussard and Jalen Berger duo, tandem. And then you lose Jaden Reed. I mean, you got Peyton Thorne coming back, but I mean, it still does not feel like that's a team on the up and up. I have Maryland at number four. He has him at number seven. He said, could both lines be Maryland's downfall? I think that one's fair. Their offensive line was a strength last year. They were all seniors. Now that's not the case. But in my eyes, if Talia Tagovailoa can really, if he can be otherworldly like his brother, then it might not matter. I mean, you need a line to protect you, but sometimes you can just be that special. And also, just what's it look like with the new coordinators on both sides of the ball? How does Josh Gattis look with them? That'll be interesting. He has Minnesota at number six, which is where I have them. He said, can Minnesota get more at receiver? Again, I don't see it. Like, why is that where you're at? For me, it's no more Tanner Morgan, no more Mo Ibrahim. So it's a complete shift. I understand, like, Chris Ottman-Bell and all of them, but, like, to me, it's like, well, you need a quarterback. I don't know if Ethan Kalik-Manis is the answer there or not. I don't know. That just seems really weird to me. He has Wisconsin at number five. I have him at number seven. This is in January that I put this together. I think I would have Wisconsin higher now, personally. His question is, will the Badgers go all in on the air raid? And I think that's exactly it. They hired Phil Longo away from North Carolina. It seems like they are going to have a complete change of identity in Madison on the offensive side of the ball, and that can have some growing pains. So I think that that's fair, but that's probably why I have them more down around seven than anything else. At number four, he has Iowa. I have Iowa at number eight because I just don't have a ton of faith necessarily in what Iowa's doing. And then you lose Jack Campbell, who was like kind of the face of your defense. I think that's going to change things a little bit. But his question, which is accurate, it says, can the offense average 25 points a game? I think that's fair. Is Cade McNamara and Eric All good enough to change things? Well, it all comes down to Brian Ferentz. So we're the same in our top three. Penn State, his question is Aller the missing piece? I think that is part of the key, but the bigger key is the offensive line. Penn State has really struggled on the offensive line, and they did so again in the spring game. I'm not convinced that that is fixed. Number two has Ohio State. So we at least agree on the order here. His question is, who takes over at kicker? Who is sitting there looking at Ohio State being like, man, the only problem that they got is the kicker? Who's not looking at Cal McCord and saying, like, man, I don't know if he is going to be anywhere close to as good as any of his predecessors? I just don't know how you look at what they've got going and say that kicker is the issue. I don't see it. Number one, Michigan. Will transfers boost the offensive line? Again, that's not exactly what I'm thinking. I look at Michigan's offensive line and say, I don't care that much about the transfers, because even if they didn't have the transfers, Michigan's offensive line would probably still be the best in the conference because they have that much depth. So, for me, it's who's the other cornerback opposite Will Johnson? Does J.J. McCarthy take that big step forward? Are there any receivers that are going to decide that they're going to really step up and out? To me, that's it for Michigan. And then, more so for Michigan, who's the kicker? Anyway, that's going to do it. Zuri's going nuts in the background. She sees something outside, so that's fun. So we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Thanks for watching. Thank you for listening. Peace.